There's that Gorsuch, last, always last.
All right, everyone. It is June 16th, 2015. This is Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. I am going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5514, Judicial Department. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and Subcommittee members. I will be working through a memo that we have posted to OLS, which contains the work session recommendations on Senate Bill 5514, the budget bill for the Judicial Department. At the top, I would note that this there's an outline of the major decision points in the recommendation, and note that in this recommendation, we are recommending that you approve the department's e-court requests to allow for funding of continued implementation in the remaining courts, and then to allow for support of ongoing operations and utilization of the e-court system. We also are going to be recommending that you increase support to allow improvements in family law services offered by the courts. We're going to be recommending that you provide other funds expenditure limitation for grants for specialty courts and treatment courts. We are recommending additional one-time support for local courthouse security. We are recommending projects relating to requested for local court facility infrastructure projects. As you're aware, also know there is a request that the department has requested funds, Article 11 Q bonds for county courthouse capital construction projects, that is to say for whole entirely new facilities. The recommendation does not address that request. Those are bond funded, and that particular decision is being sent by the co-chairs to the Capital Construction Subcommittee. So we will have no recommendation on that. And finally, as the memo notes on the start of page 2, there is a reduction of a combined $9.9 million in general fund to the agency budget, which I think bears a little comment. $9.9 million is quite a bit of money. And indeed, the recommendation general fund for the judicial department is below current service level. But I would like to state that the circumstances of these reductions are that LFO believes that this will not have a major impact on the department. There are basically three components of that $9.9 million, and in order of increasing, shall we say, concern to the department, or I would say that the largest one would be least concerning to the department. There's a $5.6 million reduction for debt service, but these are charges that the department is not going to have. The debt service costs are less than anticipated. So for $5.6 million, there'll be no impact to the department of that part of the reduction. There's also a $2.4 million component that the department is permitted by law to maintain its general fund balances that haven't been spent from one biennium to the next. This, of course, is unusual. Typically, that's not the case. The current service level calculation is designed to cover what we expect costs to be in the upcoming biennium. So what this recommendation is to reduce next biennium's appropriation by $2.4 million to allow these other fund balances to be substituted and used instead. And then the final component is a $1.9 million, which would probably be most problematic to the department to implement the $1.9 million since it relates to support for compensation costs. But I will get into a little more detail of that as we go through the actual recommendation. If there aren't any questions, I would just go through the standard tables that you've been looking at. The department has a number of different program areas, or summary cross-references, as we call them. So beginning on page 2, I just want to briefly mention that the first of these is judicial compensation. Judicial compensation pays for salary and benefits for the elected judges. There are no other costs that are paid for from this particular division of the budget. if you're following along and looking at the LFO work session presentation report on page 3 of 29, you'll see the only adjustment to judicial compensation. We're recommending that you reduce general fund by $490,000 for judicial compensation, and that's this portion of the $2.4 million total in general fund reductions. This amount will be restored during the 15-17 biennium when the agency is permitted to use its carry forward funds. So there will be no actual reduction, and the agency will be able to pay compensation owed to the state's judges. The next division of the agency, which is shown on page 4 of the report, is the division that pays debt service on bonds. The bonds that are issued to the department, the bonds that have been issued on behalf of the department, include Article 11 Q bonds that have been issued to implement the e-court system, as well as Q bonds that have been issued either to support capital construction of the department's facilities. There was for example, you approved a package last biennium for the Supreme Court building, and also support that's provided for or to counties for new courthouse projects. So we are recommending one adjustment there, and that is found on page 1. We recommend that you increase their other funds expenditure limitation by $292,900 to pay the cost of issuing the bonds for E-Court, which are also being recommended. So these are the bonds that will allow the E-Court implementation to be completed. This part is just allows them to pay the costs.
Mr. Vinder, are we still on time on budget on E-Court?
Yes. Then on page 6, we're recommending you reduce general fund by a little over $5.6 million. This is the largest of those three components of the reductions that I mentioned earlier. This would allow or adjust the general fund appropriation for debt service to the level that's actually needed. The reason for this large decline in general fund debt service is that the department has managed implementation of E-Court in a way that is allowing bonds to be issued later for the project than had originally been budgeted for. There were fewer bonds issued in the last biennium than had initially been planned, and that has resulted in reduced debt service this time around. There will be one more round of bonds that we will be recommending for debt service this biennium to complete the project. Those bonds will be issued late enough in the biennium that there won't be any debt service on them in this budget. They'll be delayed.
Mr. Chair, is there any way to reward that individual that came up with the $5 million savings?
Madam Chair, just for the record, because we hear a lot of discussion here about IT and pretty much the failures, and I just need to actually say for the record that I'm that the E-Court, and that's why I asked the question if it was on time on budget, and most of all the business plan that went into effect, it actually rolled out their plan. And so we did not have the same kind of debacle that we had when we talked about Cover Oregon. I need to say that for the record, because we often hear when there's reference to IT projects in the building that it's constantly about what happened with Cover Oregon, and E-Court has actually had a good business plan and did a rollout. And actually something else they did that I think that we should remember, that the vendor got paid when they got results. So I just needed to put that on record and give a good thank you to the court.
Senator Krieger.
Madam Chair, can you run by me one more time? I think I lost track what you did of the $2.4 million. Was that an ending balance for unspent money that you took? But you reduced what would be in the next budget by that amount because they saved it?
Yes. There will be, for example, the first case, if we go back to judicial compensation, The judicial compensation, there will be $490,000 left in general fund that you appropriated or that the legislature appropriated last time that will not be spent. Perhaps there were some vacancies for part of that time. Most state agencies, when that occurs, they revert the $490,000 back to the general fund, and it becomes part of the revenue forecast, and the co-chairs are looking at that for making budget decisions this time around. Judicial branch agencies are not required to revert that. If you did not take that reduction in, for example, judicial compensation, and you funded them at the full current service level, you would be fully funding the costs of paying judges for the 15-17 biennium, and then they would get an extra $450,000 on top of that when it is rolled forward. We're recommending that you reduce the new the 15-17 appropriation by the $490,000 so that once the rollover is complete, they still have the funding at the current service level.
Okay, follow up. I don't know if you're going to get to it or where you are on it, but you mentioned judicial salaries. Was there a pay increase included in the budget?
There was a request for a judicial salary increase in the budget, in the Chief Justice's recommended budget. It is not included in this recommendation. I believe we are now up to page 7. Page 7 is the capital construction division of the agency's budget. There are no recommendations for capital construction projects. If any such projects are approved, they would be bond funded and would be approved by the capital construction subcommittee. So this is zeroed here. The next section of the budget, which is shown on page 8, is the trial courts division. This is actually the largest division in terms of expenditures. And the trial court division pays all of the costs of operating the state's trial courts, except for the judges' salaries themselves. So this is the salaries of the staff, plus all of the other costs associated with this, with the circuit court, operating the circuit courts. Our recommendations are shown on, first of all, page 9, package 312. We recommend approving a request that to continue effective grant programs. This would increase other funds by $2,975,000 and federal funds by $340,000 for specialty and treatment court grants, most of which come from the Criminal Justice Commission to the department and are used to fund coordinator positions in the treatment courts. The package also establishes 14 full-time limited duration positions. The positions are limited in duration because they are grant funded, and we do not know whether the grants would be awarded again in subsequent biennia. So we are recommending approval of that package as requested. Then in package 801, this is the first part of basically $1.9 million reduction that you'll see in several areas of the agency budget. During the 13-15 biennium, the Oregon Judicial Department implemented compensation plan changes that increased compensation costs. The general fund impact totaled about $1.9 million across the agency, of which $1.3 million of that impact is in the trial courts division of the agency. The department funded the increases during the 2013-15 biennium without additional budgetary support, and we are recommending that you reduce the expenditure, the general fund appropriation, by the $1.3 million, which would require the continued would require them to continue to self-fund the compensation cost increases for one more biennium. This they would do through from operating efficiencies. Package 802 on page 11 is the portion of the general fund carry forward that is in the trial court's division of the agency's budget. This is a $1,550,000 reduction we're recommending. Again, these funds will be restored during the upcoming biennium when the carry forward funds are added to the agency's general fund appropriation. Starting on page 12, the next division of the agency are the appellate and tax courts. This would include the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, and the tax court. These, again, are the costs of operating those divisions, excluding the costs of compensation for the statutory judges. Our only recommendation here is on page 13. This is the compensation package. We are recommending that, again, the agency self-fund this. That's a reduction of $56,993. I would like to point out that another judicial branch agency was in a very similar situation, Public Defense Services Commission, and this is the same outcome that you had approved for their budget, where the agency is continuing to self-fund the increases this biennium. Page 14 is the first page that covers the administration and central support area of the department's budget. Administration and central support includes the Office of State Court Administrator and programs that are operated centrally. The first package that we are recommending is Package 304. Package 304 includes expenditures from the Oregon Courthouse Capital Construction and Improvement Fund. That's the fund that receives any of the bond proceeds that you approve for capital construction projects, as well as receives the required county matching funds. Our recommendation is that you establish expenditure limitation that will be necessary for the two bond projects that were approved previously. That is to say, a $15 million bond project for the Multnomah County Courthouse project and a $4 million bond for the Jefferson County Courthouse project. Those bonds were issued late in the biennium, and not all of the, most of the expenditures that have to run through that fund haven't been made yet. In fact, out of the $38 million, it's almost $37.5 million remain to be made. So what this would be doing, what this package does, is it increases their expenditures by $37.5 million, just short of that, to allow the previously approved projects to proceed. Again, if new projects are approved, this limitation may need to be further increased, but this only covers the projects that were already approved. The next adjustment is Package 307. Package 307 was presented to you as a request to restore positions that were eliminated in the 2009-11 biennium when budgets were cut due to revenue shortfalls. One of the impacts of those reductions on OJD was the elimination of the family law program that works with courts and other state agencies to improve outcomes in child support, family law, and pro se issues and cases. The department requested three full-time positions, and we are recommending that one of those positions, that you do restore one of those positions and establish, provide $190,229 in general fund. This, of course, will obviously not allow the department to make all of the restorations that they had asked for, but it will permit improvements, them to invest resources to improve those areas. The next package request was Package 311. E-Court Technical Operations Training and Business Processes. This package establishes permanent and limited duration positions and provides funding to enhance training programs for the purposes of supporting ongoing operational support of the Oregon E-Court system and to help courts more fully utilize the capabilities of the new system. The implementation, I would like to note that E-Court has been funded by Article 11Q bond proceeds as the system has been implemented. Implementation will be complete will be completed this biennium. And what this package does is it provides support with general fund because bond proceeds are not available for ongoing operational support, but it provides ongoing operational support so that the system can operate to its capabilities. And we are recommending that you approve this request with one modification. More than one modification, but we recommend that one of the requested positions not be funded. So we are reducing the position count by one. And we're recommending that the positions that are being established for the Office of Education, Training, and Outreach, with one exception, be transferred from general fund to other funds. We've also adjusted position start times, primarily to reflect the fact that some positions are transitioning from bond-funded to new positions that will be general fund-supported. LFO worked with the agency on this, so we believe that the agency does feel that this will work fine. The LFO recommendation includes the establishment of 5 permanent full-time positions in the Business and Fiscal Services Division, of 8 permanent full-time and 2 limited duration full-time positions in OEDO, which is the Office of Education, Training, and Outreach, and of 2 permanent full-time and 5 limited duration positions in the Enterprise Technology Services Division. I do just want to note parenthetically that as a result of this package, the expenditures from the State Technology Fund, State Courts Technology Fund, are being increased. This is a situation where I think you can expect to hear more about this coming up, perhaps in the 2016 session. There is enough funds in the State Court Technology Fund to fully fund these increases in the 2015-17 biennium. However, there may not be enough to continue all of these positions beyond that, even after eliminating the ones that are limited duration. So we will need to look into that and to see how funding for these positions and other expenditures can be maintained. And finally, on page 18, we have the portion of the personal services payment adjustment attributable to administration and central services. The next section of the budget is mandated payments. Mandated payments include payments for interpreters and payments related to the cost of jury trials and ADA compliance. We're just recommending a $30,000 reduction here for the carryover funds. The next section of the budget shown on page 21, beginning on page 21, is the third-party debt collection. These are payments that the department makes to third-party debt collectors, primarily to the Department of Revenue, who is acting as the department's agent in collecting monies that are owed to the courts. We're recommending a carry-forward adjustment, an $80,000 reduction. This does not represent all of the carry-forward we're expecting. There are some concerns that this may be a tight budget in the 2015-17 biennium at the current service level. So by not eliminating all the carry forward, this division will essentially end up with more money than the CSL level. If it's not needed, it cannot be used for other purposes, but we're trying to look forward and anticipate what may be an issue later on. The next section of the budget are the external pass-throughs. And the external pass-throughs are funds that certain funds that the department distributes to other entities and does not hold themselves. These would include funds for legal aid program, funds for mediation and conciliation services, law libraries, Oregon Law Commission, Council on Court Procedures. All of these, we have no recommended changes from the current service level for any of those programs. The next section of the budget, which begins on page 24, is the State Court Facilities Security Account. This account is used to fund, as the title would imply, both security and facility issues, both at the state with the state court facilities and county court facilities. It is funded from criminal fine account funds, which are otherwise transferred to the general fund. So in the co-chair's budget, although these are other funds, they are considered within the whole question of balancing the general fund, general fund lottery funds budget. We are recommending two enhancements to state court facilities security account. Package 313, described on page 25, is to allocate an additional $1.1 million for local court, county court security issues during the 2015-17 biennium. Under the current service level, there is $3,050,000 approximately dollars that are being allocated to counties already. As a result of passage of House Bill 2562, though, in the 2013 session, which reduced state funding for these accounts and instead required justice and municipal courts to provide funding to counties, it has turned out that funding levels have not been adequate in some of the counties to provide the security that's needed for the courts to function. So we are recommending that the LFO recommendation, the original request was for more than this amount, but we did work with the Judicial Department and are recommending that you provide an additional $1.1 million from the criminal fine account for distribution to county court facility security accounts, that this funding level be provided on a one-time basis, which is to say when the department prepares its budget next biennium, we'll go back to basically the $3 million base rate. These funds, it should be noted that LFO's recommendation to you is that you mention that the Chief Justice may prioritize and distribute the one-time supplemental monies provided to county court facilities to address funding shortfalls and impacts resulting from House Bill 2562. So it may be that the Chief Justice determines that the greatest need is not to distribute money to all 36 counties, but to focus on a smaller number that are more directly affected and are having the security issues.
Question, Mr. Mm-hmm. Bender. Were most the counties that were actually expressing their problem, were most of those counties that had not passed their levies?
I haven't looked into that.
Okay. I'll check with the Chief Justice afterward, because I believe that was the issue.
Another package we're recommending for the State Court Facilities and Securities account is package 314. The Chief Justice requested a little under $3.7 million from the criminal fines account to finance a number of local court facilities infrastructure projects. I would note that this was funding that was received last biennium, or still the current biennium, but 2013-15 biennium, but it was provided on a one-time basis. It phased out, and package 314 was requested to continue the funding basically at the same level but with a different set of projects. The proposal is to use $2.5 million to address life and safety projects at the Malheur and Wallowa County courthouses and another $1.2 million for smaller projects in the Grant, Coos, Douglas, Clatsop, and Josephine County courthouses. Our recommendation is $3.5 million of other funds for financial support to the requested projects. Clearly, this is a bit less than was actually requested, but the expectation is that the funds will be used for these projects unless if there's any need to change that, we would expect the courts to report, you know, the department to report back prior to making any changes. We're almost done. The next section of the budget is the eCourt program. This is the package that funds the implementation of eCourt. Includes other funds, expenditures from bond proceeds, and establishes limited duration positions to complete the implementation of the Oregon eCourt system in the remaining circuit courts and in the tax court. This has been a three-biennium process of implementing the Odyssey system, and all circuit courts are targeted to be operating on eCourt by the end of the 15-16 fiscal year, so halfway through the upcoming biennium. We recommend that you increase other funds expenditures by roughly $17.3 million. You can see the exact dollar amount in the memo to allow the completion of the project. This would include $14.5 million of new bond proceeds. The remainder of the funds between the 17.3 and the 14.5 would be carryover funds from earlier issuances of bond, earlier issues of the bonds that have not been fully spent yet. This also includes establishment of 38, as I think I mentioned, limited duration positions, 22.24 FTE. And the final adjustment that we recommend is a package 802 general fund carry forward adjustment. This is part of the $2.4 million. There is $250,000 in the eCourt program in general fund. If you remove this or reduce the appropriation, these funds will be restored when the carryover funds are accounted and allowed to be used. Those are our recommendations for expenditure adjustments for the 2015-17 biennium budget for the Judicial Department. I do want to note on page 2 of the memo, so this is at the front, we're also recommending a rebalance of the current biennium's budget, 2013-15. The way these work session report documents are prepared, we are never able to include 2013-15 adjustments in that actual report. But what we're recommending is that you transfer $400,000 in general fund from third-party debt collection, where there is excess general fund available, to mandated payments to cover higher than budgeted costs and mandated payments. Again, mandated payments finances the interpreters, the costs associated with jury trials, ADA compliance, and these costs were higher than anticipated. We recommend this budget rebalance. There's no net cost to the 13-15 biennium budget.
Okay, ready for a motion?
I am.
Question or comment before we go. All right. During the presentation of their budget, we heard, I think, that we were ranked 47th in judicial pay. We're not ranked 47th in state police pay. We're not paid 47th on the amount of money we pay or any other state employee you could think of. I'm very disappointed that something wasn't given towards that. And I can't support a yes vote on the budget when we failed to even give any type of movement whatsoever. We can do a little bit better when you think of some of the places we put money in this budget on a statewide basis. I don't know why this is happening.
Representative Krieger, I share your concerns. I have shared them with the co-chairs. I know the Chief Justice has shared them with the co-chairs. My hope is that we can get some money in the end of session budget bill, so there's still hope, but we have to address this issue, especially in rural Oregon. So thank you for bringing that up. Representative Gorsuch.
I just want to dovetail with what my colleague, Representative Krieger, said. It is true that judges make more than minimum wage. On the other hand, we also know that we have a lot of judges that are aging out, as we talked about today, and it will be difficult when you consider how much we pay them to bring in interested and qualified candidates. And may I ask if anyone knows, when's the last time we did do a raise for judges?
Back when I was chairing the committee.
That was last biennium.
Yeah, we did this biennium we did, but it, we are still at the bottom, so even though we're 47th, we are at the bottom.
Okay.
And we are falling behind every session.
Okay.
So we're not digging ourselves out of any hole.
And we don't have an operation for the judges where there's at least a cost of living increase that's mandated.
No, but there is a bill for that.
All right.
Got a question.
Thank
one,
you, Madam
one more. Mm-hmm. What was the ask for salary increase? What was the total?
$4.9 million.
That would have covered all the judges?
That would have covered the request, the
okay.
fair request, yes.
Okay.
Question, Senator Bates.
Just real quick. When we look at compensation, we also look at total compensation, which is health insurance and retirement benefits. And a lot of times we don't look at that when we consider this. We should look at that. Oregon is low in salary, but extremely high in PERS and in health care benefits. That should be factored into that discussion also. And those costs are obviously continuing to go up, especially PERS. So we have to consider that also when you make your decision on this. Now, that might have been in the back of the co-chair's minds. I don't know what happened here. I still would have supported a small increase for them, but mm-hmm. let's have a complete discussion. We talk about packages and mm-hmm. what we're really bringing forward here. And PERS, as we know, is out of control of the state. And our PEB costs are just barely coming under control. I assume they're in, am I correct in assuming they're in the PERS system and in the PEB system?
They're in a different
well, they're
PERS
in a
system.
Different, yeah, a different kind of PERS system. All right, thank you.
Representative Williamson, I move the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5514.
Okay. Senator Shields moves the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5514. Discussion. Objection. Representative Krieger, Representative Barker. All right, so moved.
Next is performance measures.
Close the courts down.
It would be interesting, you know.
We did that once.
Yeah.
Not didn't work out.
Yeah, we don't
know how the Chief Justice feels about that.
No.
I'm going to hand this to my co-chair.
Keep the pain of the...
Have to run away.
Mr. Bender.
We've noted the performance measures. You see the legislatively proposed key performance measure report. We are recommending the targets, and we are not changing any of the proposed or the measures that the agency has been using. I just want to note that this is a transition time for OJD and their key performance measures. We recommend that you approve the key performance measures and key performance measure targets as shown, but adopt an understanding that the Judicial Department will present new KPMs for approval in the 2013 session based on the information available in the Oregon eCourt system. They have indicated that this is their intention once eCourt is implemented and the data data availability becomes implemented, that they would introduce new key performance measures. But these are what we are recommending for this project.
All right. Senator Bates?
Yeah, okay. Key performance measure number 8. We believe that the greatest cause of a property crime in this state is drug addiction. And a one-year graduation program, to me, seems very, very light. You have to follow these people 3, 4, 5 years before you know if you've really made an impact in their lives and got them to stop using drugs and stay out of crime. And so when they come back at 13, I ask them to take a little look at that, make sure that 1 year is what they want, and it's really a good measure or not, or should it be a longer measurement of staying out of the court for four or out of violations for 4 or 5 years instead of just 1 year?
Good point. Representative Wisnett.
Co-chair, I move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Representative Wisden has moved the LFO recommendations on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Mr. Bender.
The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a total budget of $421,268,755 in general fund, $98,677,144 other funds, $1,598,285 in federal funds, and 1,909 positions, which is 1,774.83 full-time equivalent. And that Senate Bill 5514 be amended by the Dash 1 amendments to adjust the budget to that, to those amounts.
Representative Wisnett.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5514.
Representative Wisnett has moved the adoption of the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5514. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. And ready for the final motion? Representative Wisnett.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5514 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Before we move that, do I need to bring in a co-chair, or will we have a courtesy vote together?
There's only three of us that can vote no over here.
Is it on the bill? On the budget?
Okay. All right. Representative Wisnett has moved Senate Bill 5514 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
You know, a person has to kind of support the budget, but I think we need to make comment maybe a little bit different into the Ways and Means process, other than hearing an agency budget, then a month and a half, 2 months later, here's the budget. I realize that they make the decision, but they want us to vote. So that might be something in the future we need to look at with the co-chairs.
Fair enough. Any further discussion? All right. Why don't we call the roll? Or what? Actually, let's just see any objections. No objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Carriers, I'd be happy to carry it on the fuller. Would you like to
do it?
Okay. Senator Winters to carry it in full?
In full.
And Rep. Williamson on it?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. And how about Representative Gorsuch in the House?
And Representative Winters on the Senate as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mr. Bender, anything we need to know about our scheduling?
You have, I see your schedulers here. You have some policy bills scheduled for tomorrow. I don't know if you had more information or not.
I haven't pulled them up. But you have three policy bills, either public hearing or work session tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. Good. All right. Anything else? We're adjourned. All right. Anything else? We're adjourned.